Good evening, everyone. We're going to get going.
Whoa. Hello.
Mine's on, too.
Welcome to this meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Today is Monday, December 16th, 2013, and the time is 7:38 p.m. Mrs. Cressy, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
But we're not there yet.
You got to read.
Can I change it around?
No, because we took a meeting.
Guys, I'm sorry. I messed up.
Up and down.
Dude, be careful.
It's a good workout.
I can't do that.
It's a trick.
I was just testing Mrs. Grant to see if she really injured her leg.
That's not nice.
In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on January 10, 2013, faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, posting on the district website and main bulletin board, and faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Heather, will you please have the roll call?
Mrs. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. Cresty?
Here.
Mr. Freda? Mr. Higgins? Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Here.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Here. This evening, Mr. Higgins is at a planning board meeting that he's running. He may be here later. There's some urgent business that's culminating tonight that he's supervising over at the town hall. And Mr. Freda had notified me he's going to be a little bit late to the meeting tonight. Moving on, Mrs. Cresty, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I'd be happy to. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Get back in. Okay, this evening we're going to move the president's comments a little bit later in the meeting, and we're going to start with the report of the superintendent of schools, Dr. Clark.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for coming. Last year I brought fudge to the December meeting, and apparently it was a big hit. My husband makes this fabulously creamy fudge. So, I don't know, there are a lot of people here tonight. I hope I have enough. But Mrs. High, can you pass it around?
Yes. I have no problem sharing mine. We're Mr.
If you need more,
or we can share this.
Mrs. High?
Oh.
We'll wrestle over later.
Okay. All right. So while we're passing out fudge,
my kind of meeting.
Okay.
Sorry.
Come on, girl.
Inappropriate.
Let me begin with the enrollment report. We have 1544, down 3 from last month. We have a suspension report, one day in-school suspension at Brown Valley School. We have our HIV, harassment, intimidation, bullying report. One investigation at Patrick McGarren determined not to be HIV. One investigation at Brown Valley School determined not to be HIV. Two investigations at the Clinton Township Middle School, all determined not to be HIV. I would like to just give a little summary of the safety and symposium meeting that took place at the Clinton Township Middle School on December 2nd. Some of you may have read some information about it in the Democrat. The prosecutor's office sponsored a safety and security symposium at the middle school. We had some of the largest attendance. We had 48 staff members attend, including all our district administrators and members of the school safety teams. It was an opportunity to listen to law enforcement, prominent psychologists, and school administrators as well as a man that you really should Google. His name is John Michael Keyes. He is the parent of Emily Keyes, who was a high school student shot in the Platte Canyon hostage taking in Colorado at Platte Canyon High School. He founded the I Love You Guys Foundation in honor of his daughter's last text to him. And they have been working with law enforcement to utilize the standard response protocol in schools. And I was just at another meeting where it was said that I think every school in Hunterdon County is using this standard response protocol. It was an emotional day, and much of it was very difficult to listen to, especially from a parent's perspective. But the day certainly drove home the point that multifaceted planning is critical. Our staff debriefed, and we have already made adjustments to some plans based on what we learned. I would also like to say that from the prosecutor's office, Detective Kevin Bird is also working with district staff on a school-by-school basis and meeting with administrators and staff members throughout the school year to work with us. As I said, it was a very emotional day. Many of us were up that night thinking about the face of Emily Keyes, and I just wanted to make sure that I took a moment to honor John Michael Keyes and his daughter Emily and his family for the work that they're doing and for coming here and speaking so honestly in helping us really plan and understand not just what is important in terms of school safety for our kids and for our staff members, but he really spoke from the parents' perspective and understanding how to better communicate with the parents in a time of crisis. So we learned a great deal, and I really wanted to just acknowledge him and certainly Prosecutor Kearns for coming here, and they spent the entire day here, the entire day, really making an effort for us to learn. And I thought it was particularly poignant, especially after we know there was another Colorado school shooting in the past week. So I really want to thank them for coming and appreciate their efforts. And I really appreciate the effort and energy that our staff put into it because they were so attentive and really working to do the best to take care of our kids. As always, I have great pride in who they are and what they do every day. So I thank them as well. I also wanted to take a moment. I sent out a message to our township families about the school calendar. And I wanted to, although it's not written on the agenda per se, I wanted to make sure that anyone here tonight who was here to discuss the calendar knows that it is not an agenda item that we are voting on tonight, but that we are going to be listening to parent concerns and topics regarding the calendar. We normally follow the North Hunterdon school calendar. There are a couple of different changes this year on their calendar that we are looking at and considering as well. So I do want the parents who are here tonight to talk about the calendar to know that I believe that the time to comment on that would be in the public comment area, the first one for agenda items only. It is technically on the agenda by me speaking about it right now. and adding it to the agenda as a topic. So I want you to be aware of that, and you are welcome to come up in that first public comment section and share any concerns you may have or issues that you want us to consider as we're making that decision. The vote on the calendar will not be tonight. It will be at the January meeting. I would also like to take an opportunity. We have something on the agenda that, if it's okay, I would like to share, Mr. President.
Of course.
Okay. On our agenda tonight, we have a recommendation to hire Alice Steinheimer for Director of Special Services. And I want to share the process with everyone and a little bit about Mrs. Steinheimer. We had 22 applicants for the position. 7 were brought in for initial interviews. 2 candidates made it to the district committee. The committee was comprised of a total of 11 members, was inclusive of parents, administrators, 2 board members, and teachers, and school psychologists. The interviews were extensive and included a written response to 2 challenging scenarios that had to be responded to in a very short period of time. I'd like to thank Tim Jaw for coming that evening to supervise and make sure our computers were at the ready for our candidates. I will tell you that it was we took the questions from teachers to teachers, parents, administrators, board members, gave me questions to put together in the list of interview questions. And so we had a large number of questions due to that, but I think it made for a very interesting process. The committee enthusiastically felt that Mrs. Steinheimer was most passionate about special education, extremely knowledgeable about inclusion and the co-teaching programs, and her experience as a member of a child study team, combined with her knowledge of the law and understanding of teaching reading, would provide a district leader the department had been looking for, as well as someone the parents would find supportive and collaborative. Mrs. Steinheimer has a bachelor's degree in elementary education from Oneonta College in New York, a master's of science in special education from Adelphi in New York, a master of arts in educational leadership from St. Elizabeth's in New Jersey. She taught in New York and in Randolph for many years, and was also a learning disabilities teacher consultant in Randall. Mrs. Steinheimer has been in administration for 5 years as a director of special services. Many years ago, when we were both special education teachers, Alice taught across the hall from me. She probably doesn't know this story.
She will know.
But one day, I passed her class, and there was a student crying under a table. What struck me was that Alice was also under the table, right next to the child, talking quietly and helping them cope with that momentary meltdown. And I have to tell you, I said this to Mr. Sturgis the other night. It was right at that moment that I knew that she was a teacher that I wanted to be like, and that I really looked up to. Our paths took different turns over the years, but I always remember her saying this, and she said it at the interview last week. She said, children are like wet cement. Whatever falls on them makes an impression. Mrs. Steinheimer made an impression on all of us last week. I have done a lot of interviews in the district, and teachers and parents have taken me aside after interviews and said, you have to hire this person is really great. But I must admit, I was taken aback by how strongly some of our staff members, and you know, they can be very strong when they want to be, grabbed my arm and said, Dr. Clark, you have to bring us this person because they will make a difference in our schools and our community. So I'm really proud to be recommending Mrs. Steinheimer to the district tonight. We have, I believe, a fabulous administrative team, and I'm happy that Mrs. Steinheimer is going to hopefully be approved tonight and join us.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. So I have a few questions on your report, but I figure we would move SU-008 and then we can have some discussion by the board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so seeking a motion to move 14 SU-008.
So moved.
Second.
So moved by Mrs. McLaughlin and second by Mrs. Grant. Okay, is there any discussion on SU-008? Okay, I have some. On your report of the Huntington County Safe Campus Initiative,
mm-hmm.
Was there any feedback after the session? It was all here in this facility? Was it in this room?
It was in different places. There was, we had I'm gonna call it a debriefing. That's what they officially call it by law enforcement. That was in this room. And I have to say, I've never been to a law enforcement debriefing. It was very different than anything we normally attend as educators. So it had a whole different slant to it.
So
that
was
in this room.
Geared toward law enforcement officers?
Yes, because there was law enforcement and first responders here. There was another room where there was a psychologist who talked about what our school safety teams should be aware of, what they should be looking for, and different aspects of students and concerns and things where we should place our emphasis in being proactive about things. There was also another room where there was a school principal from Colorado who had wrestled, it was another school incident, who had wrestled a shooter to the ground. And he spoke about administration and school officials dealing in a crisis moment and how you react and how the brain works and how the frontal lobe and decision making can shut down. And you're in the fight and flight state of mind. So it was there were different aspects to the presentations, and they were in different spots throughout the building.
And how did it come to be here, the symposium? Is it something we applied for?
The prosecutor's office asked if we could have it here. We've been attending a number of tabletop drills and exercises and become very familiar with dealing with the prosecutor's office and Detective Byrd, and so he thought of our school pretty quickly.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. Any other board members have any comments on the superintendent's report? Okay, moving on. At this time, we'll move to president's comments.
You have to vote.
No vote.
Okay. I didn't.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm off my game tonight. We need to.
You didn't have any fudge. That's the problem.
Okay, Mrs. Spitzik, we have the roll call vote on 008.
Mrs. Kresty?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to President's comments. First, I wanted to speak about Dr. Clark spoke about our prospective Director of Special Services, Mrs. Steinheimer. I was present at the interview, and I was equally impressed with her background and how she interviewed. But also, I wanted to talk about the process that was used to interview the candidates. The final interview team, consisted of special educators, general educators, parents, board members, Dr. Clark, and two school principals and an additional school administrator. So I thought it was a good cross-section of people to do the interview, and the questions were broken up, and the questions were primarily generated by staff in the school. And then we were able to add questions and have follow-up questions. So from a process perspective, very tough for the candidate, but very good for the people doing the interview as a means of really getting to know this person. You know, when you're getting hit with 14, 17 questions and follow-ups by multiple people, you really get a sense of whether somebody really knows and is passionate about what they're speaking about and how they present in public, which is important. So from a process perspective, Dr. Clark, I wanted to commend you. I thought that went very well. I felt very good about the process and about the interview.
Thank you.
Also, later tonight, in the Facilities and Finance section, Mr. Malloy and maybe Mrs. Spitzer are going to give a report, but we've touched on this at prior board meetings, and we'll be updating on some of the progress on some of the school construction initiatives, some renovation work, some security work, and it's something in the past we've had to defer. For many years when we do budgets, we've had to defer things like school maintenance, security upgrades, infrastructure upgrades, even curbing and paving, things of that nature. And while obviously our primary mission here is educating the kids, we also have to make sure that they have a safe and high-functioning environment and a safe environment. And we've been able in this past year to, in last year's budget, move some money to capital reserve to pay for some of these types of construction projects that have been deferred for several years. And most importantly, we've been able to pay for some school security upgrades within the past year. And I also wanted to commend Mrs. Spitzer and her staff. We have to apply to the state to get these projects done. Some of them you can't just go do. You have to design them and present them to the state, and then they approve it, and then you can move forward with doing the work. But after the initial approval of some of our construction projects, Mrs. Spitzer and the staff in her office noted that some grants had become available. So we pulled back on some of those projects. We were looking to get them done earlier in the year, but there was money to be had from the state on the table. So we pulled some back, applied for the grants, and we received grants, and we were able to defer some of the cost of those investments. So that was a very savvy move. Good job, Mrs. Spitzer.
Thank you.
And the last thing I wanted to do in my report tonight is we actually have two members of the Board of Education who are retiring from the Board of Education tonight.
Don't use the word retire. They're too young.
They're too young? Okay.
Don't use the word retire.
They're moving on. Their terms are ending. So some help me out here. Moving on to greener pastures. Michelle Kresty and John Higgins, their terms are ending. This is their last board meeting. John's actually not here yet. He's at a planning board meeting. Mrs. Kresty is here. And we're going to say goodbye to John at a later meeting when he can be here at the start of the meeting. But Michelle, we wanted to thank you and recognize you for the time and dedication you've given to the Clinton Township Board of Education. So Michelle's the most senior board member here. And then
good choice of words.
Thank you. Well, I'm not doing too good tonight. And then me. But Michelle's finishing her second term, and if you were a board member as of 2012, if you were a current board member, you got a bonus. When we changed the law to align with the elections in the fall, everybody's term got extended by 10 months. So yours did as well. So instead of the two full terms, 3 years and 3 years, Michelle got to do 6 years and 10 months.
Well, so I meant some extra because I actually took over, not to be a smarty pants, but I actually took over an earlier term and I started the prior October. So
okay.
This is a
So you're a senior.
7 years.
So you're over seven, so that's a long time.
She's seasoned.
So, and I know in my time, and I've been here under 4 years, I know Michelle has been on the Personnel Negotiations Committee. You've been on the Policy and Curriculum Committee. You've chaired Personnel Negotiations, and you've been the Board Vice President. What you did prior to 4 years, I don't know. But we want to thank you. And many times while you've been here, your experience as an attorney has come in handy. It's helpful at times when you're dealing with contracts and other issues to have an attorney on your team, and we have for over 7 years. So we appreciate you giving us that experience.
Thank you.
And I also know that Michelle's family's here. So if you could come down, we wanted to present Michelle with a gift. So we invited them to be here tonight, and thank you for coming. So, Michelle, could you,
Michelle,
when they get down here, introduce us?
Your daughter's a national champion.
Sorry?
She's a national champion.
They're one of the nationals. Maria just brought up, we just got back actually this morning from Disney. My daughter Alex, the pink sweater, is on the Huskies, and her team just won third place in a national cheerleading competition. So that's and the junior midgets won first place. So it was very exciting for Huntington County over the past few days. So this is my youngest, my son Jake Macy. This is Alex Macy and my husband John Macy. And we have one more son who's a freshman in the high school, John, also. And he's basketball practice.
So thank you guys for coming. We appreciate it. And we wanted to give this to your mom, Emily. It's a picture of the original Red Schoolhouse in Annandale. And it's a symbol. Thank you for your time that you've dedicated to this project.
Thank you very much, guys. Together, I think it'll be nothing but continued success going forward. And I'm proud to get to see this board go forward and continue the success that we have had. So thank you for all the kind words, and I look forward to many more years of working with everyone in different ways.
Thanks, Michelle. So John, thank you for coming. I know the kids have school tomorrow. Feel free to get them home and finish homework or get them to bed.
They have school tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe not. There sounds like a delay.
Thank you all for coming.
My kids have put. Just saying.
Did you wear your pajamas inside out?
Come on. Yes.
Spoons in the freezer.
Right.
Flush an ice cube.
Pajamas backwards, inside out, jump up and down, spin around.
So you know them all, huh?
Yeah.
I'm going to do the same thing tomorrow that I do every day.
Oh, you know what? It's terrible.
Okay, that concludes President's comments. We're going to move on to public comments.
We're a silly group.
There are three opportunities for the public to comment at the Board of Education meeting. The first opportunity comes up now. It's on agenda items only, so try and restrict your comments to items on the agenda. Immediately following that, there's another opportunity, which is first recognition of the public, and that can be on any item. Doesn't need to be on the agenda. And then at the end of the meeting, there's an additional second recognition of the public, and that can be on any item. Doesn't need to be on the agenda. So at this time, if anybody would like to address the board on agenda items only, please approach the mic and tell us who you are and where you live.
There's so many of you tonight. No one wants to talk to us.
Editorially, the first six speakers tonight get a candy cane.
Yeah.
But they have to come to this side.
Or fudge.
No, that's my fudge. Thank you.
There's no microphone. North Hundred Employees might state that it helps their students to start early prior to Labor Day,
They might also feel that since their sports teams are marching band or practicing in August, school should be in session as well. It's interesting to note, however, that although these same arguments could be made by nearly all the other high schools in New Jersey, most New Jersey high schools have elected not to start before Labor Day, including our neighbors to the south and east, Hunterdon Central and Bridgewater Raritan. Given these reasons, the next question to ask is, do these reasons apply to students in our district? Will it be beneficial for our younger children and families with younger children to start before Labor Day and end in some years much earlier in June? This leads to some thoughts on the second part of question two. It's most important to recall the needs of the majority of the children and their families in the Lynn Township District. The majority of our children are young. We are reminded so frequently about this and to appreciate every moment with them at this age. The summer months are a time to spend outdoors enjoying all that New Jersey has to offer, parks, the beach, lakes. Simply looking at temperatures, when is this the best time for our younger children to take advantage of? Throughout June or in August, when per historical record it is at least an average of 3 degrees hotter, as we recall the phrase that August days are considered the dog days of summer and early September the last days of summer. For many families with younger children, late August is the time to plan late summer holidays as rates become cheaper and the weather is still quite good. In addition, how do working parents in our district manage child care for June when so many camps do not start until the very end of the month, because that timing is consistent with the calendars of our surrounding districts? Yes, Clinton Township can adjust to summer rec program timing, but this does not meet the needs of working parents who need to find a full-day program. We are not suggesting that the school become a babysitter for our children. In fact, I am a stay-at-home mom, and so this point is being made because it's just a fact, not because I or other parents want the school to serve a child watch function. In addition, for those who argue adopting a consistent calendar will allow them to use their older high school students to watch their younger children, we need to consider how many parents in our district are actually in this position and how many would actually do this if they could. Also, are they currently doing this during the month where their calendars are aligned? Our district has a Meet the Teacher Day that usually occurs the week before school starts. Will families who want to take advantage of this much needed getting to know you time with their young children have to plan to be home not one but possibly 2 weeks prior to Labor Day? How will the teachers feel about this? Will parents who have younger children simply choose to ignore the much earlier start date for school? This coming year, 2014-15, it so happens that the board of 3 to 4 years calendar does not start until August 28th. Labor Day comes shortly after on Monday, September 1st. What happens in other years when the North 140th district decides, like it did in 2011, that school began August 25th, when Labor Day was on September 5th, and is finished on June 7th? If we agree to simply follow the North 140th calendar, we will be at their mercy, possibly requiring our children's families to be available nearly 3 weeks before Labor Day and finish at the end of May. We need to ask, is it best for the North 140th district to be making these decisions for our students and families? Finally, if we ultimately decide that it is in the best interest of our children and families to align their schedule with North Hunterdon, and I question that this is required, why should we simply adopt their calendar in total? Why should they consider adopting ours? Or even better, wouldn't it be reasonable to get together and discuss how we can service needs that seem to be the driving force behind the calendar discussion in the first place can be coordinated between the two districts without disrupting the calendar?
Thank you, Mrs. McHugh. Any additional comments on agenda items? Okay, seeing none at this time, we'll move on to first recognition of the public. At this time, comments don't need to be restricted to the agenda. They can be on any topic. Just please approach the mic and tell us your name and where you live, and try to restrict your comments to 3 minutes if you can.
December, 2 days prior to Christmas Eve, I personally travel to see my family. So sorry. I personally travel a lot, and I know I'm not the only person in Clinton Township to do so. And to leave this winter vacation works out perfect because, you know, you can leave Friday, come back, and, you know, it's not you get time before Christmas and after. And I know it's not just Christmas, but I do know people travel during that time to go skiing, to be with their families, to do whatever. So I don't think 2 days before Christmas Eve or a day really before Christmas Eve is really acceptable to get out. And otherwise, I also had a question. Are they cutting down on their half days? Because I didn't see many listed, and I don't know if that's something they go back in and add. I only saw about one before.
They meeting us or they meeting North?
They meeting North.
Okay.
Because if we're going to align with certain things, we should also maybe align our half days, because I know that they had a half day. They have half days often that we don't have the same half day. So if people are using that they want their older kids to be able to watch their younger kids, then we should probably also align half days as well. And I did like the fact that they took off for Rosh Hashanah, was it Thursday in September? So I'm good with that, and I'm good with the general aligning of dates that are, you know, not going to change much, but the ending and start, we really shouldn't start before. I know it's only a couple days for this year, for the 28th or whatever, but for those two extra days to not to just to do that is just a little frustrating for other parents. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Brennan. Any other comments on any issue? There's another public for a second recognition of the public toward the end of the meeting, and that's also on any topic. At this time, there's no other people wishing to speak, so we're going to move on to the report of the school business administrator, Mrs. Spitzer.
On this board agenda are the minutes for the November 18th meeting, as well as the executive sessions. We conducted two executive sessions on the 18th, so there is approval for those two executive sessions as well. In front of each of the board members is the audit ending June 30th, 2013. This is the CAFR submitted by the auditor. The auditor will be here on January the 6th to present the findings and to go over the management discussion. And there will be a motion on the agenda to accept the findings of the audit and to approve it. There are also several months' worth of financial statements in your packet. The reason for that is because there were changes. If you remember, when we were approving the prior months, we did not have an audited final June 30th. So as in your packet, we have a June 30th final audited financial statement, which of course impacts financial statements going forward. So there's a June final, a July revised, an August revised, and a September and October.
That's in this brown packet.
The brown packet in front of you is the audit. Mm-hmm. And the financial statements were sent home with you in terms of your board.
The electronic packet.
Correct. So we'll be on target going forward now that the audit's complete. We can get everything going forward. We won't have any more revisions. The next board meeting will be held here. It will be our reorganization meeting on January the 6th at 7:30 p.m. here in the auditorium.
Thank you, Mrs. Spitzer.
Mrs. Spitzer, I have a question, and maybe in a question for the board attorney. We have two new members joining the board who will be sworn in at that January reorg meeting. And since they will be at the January reorg meeting and we have the auditor's presentation, can we get them a copy of the audit report ahead of time?
Sure.
So they can have an opportunity to read that before they come to that meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's okay, ML?
Yes.
Okay, we're seeking a motion on 14BA 013 through 14BA 016.
So moved.
By Kevin Malloy.
Second.
By Dan McTiernan. Is there any discussion on 2013 through 2016. Okay, seeing none, can we please have a roll call vote?
Mrs. Krusty?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes, but I'm going to abstain on executive session minutes number 2, I believe.
Mr. Malloy?
Abstaining on BA 13, yes to all other.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Yes to all, but except on 013 in the executive session, I have to abstain on 1 and 2.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving on to committee reports. First committee is in Facilities and Finance. Kevin Malloy is the chairman of this committee. Mr. Malloy, could you please give us a report on the activities of your committee?
Yes, Mr. Sturgis, happy to. The Finance and Facilities Committee met on December 9th, and various items were discussed, including the audit. Our auditing firm, as Dr. Clark mentioned, William Colentano, will be making an audit presentation at our next meeting on January 6th. We also, as Mr. Sturgis mentioned, discussed the ROD, or the Regular Operating District Grants. We'll be talking about that in the agenda items, and discussed certain areas aside from facilities, but upgrade. I'm not going to be doing a lot of mentioning of some of these areas of security and upgrade for obvious reasons, but rest assured there are some what we call critical security items related to facilities that are being looked at in a second wave. Just for educational purposes, the grants that were filed by Dr. Clark, Mrs. Spitzer, with the help of our architect of record, Brett Somjan, are done in two stages. This is strategic, and it actually worked out quite well, as Mr. Sturgis pointed out, because we have some very pleasant news to report on some of these grants. The agenda items for this evening include payment of bills, transportation assessments, and other issues related to our students with special learning challenges, graduate course approval for our faculty professional developments. In addition, you will note we are some of the key agenda items that you'll note today. There is a motion on the agenda to appoint Suburban Consulting Engineers as our engineer of record. This is a firm with whom we've had a long-standing work relationship. They were just never actually, I guess, officially appointed as engineer of record. So what you'll see is we've asked that they be appointed beginning tomorrow, 12/17, all the way through the end of December of next year. No point in having them appointed as our engineer of record for 2 weeks and then having to redo it in January. We will accept the preliminary eligible cost for the regular operating district grants. These grants helped defray up to 40% of the costs related to facility security upgrades. So again, echoing our president's comments, job very well done by Mrs. Spitzer and her team. So great work on that. You will note also we have a motion to engage a consultant for grant completion. That would be at $60 an hour with a maximum of $3,500. The use of this consultant is to actually apply not for new grants, but rather to apply for reimbursement for projects already completed in prior years. So this is not new cost to frail, but rather it is reimbursement of money spent by the district for various facilities and educational items over prior years. We have an item on the agenda to approve source for teachers for the outsourcing of seeking substitute teachers in the district effective 2/1/14. I think you'll also see that in personnel. This is a process by which, I'm sorry, it's not on the agenda. We're actually still looking at the contract, but we did discuss this. I apologize. The use of this firm to help find substitute teachers on a short-term basis was done in conjunction with the leadership of the district and the personnel committee. They were reviewed very carefully. We believe that they might be a good fit. The contract that they proposed is currently being reviewed by our attorneys, so forgive me for that. You'll notice that there is a change order relative to facilities for hardware and dorm replacement of $16,325. We have appropriated the same monies from capital reserves to pay for that. It is a change order, it is well within norms, as well as a $12,000 charge, a reimbursement charge, for our architect of record, Pret Somjan, for the grant application submissions for these regular operating district grants. We are also happy to propose accepting of grants for certain items, including Spruce Run Song and Weezy Robotics. Other than that, we are still working and meeting with various demographers to determine what we believe is the best opportunity for us to move forward in terms of a firm that offers the broadest possible scope of services at the best cost. I think you'll also, there's one other item I wanted to discuss as we talk about it. You'll note also the Finance Facilities Committee did discuss the hiring of a full-time substitute custodian. That agenda item is not in Finance Facilities, but it is rightly placed in personnel. So you'll be hearing from Mr. McTiernan on that. So with that in mind, I seek a motion on Facilities and Finance Committee items FF101 through FF115.
So moved by me. And we need a second.
Second.
By Rachel McLaughlin. Is there any discussion on FF101 through FF115? Mr. Malloy, the grants that you mentioned for SRS,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I was trying to find it. Who were the grants from? CTSE?
Certainly. And Mrs. Spitzer, help me out. We do have the Foundation for Educational Excellence providing these grants. As always, thank you very much to the Foundation. They do great work. Mm-hmm. Don't forget to get your name on the chair. So the Spruce Run Song for an amount of $1,000, Weezy Robotics for Spruce Run for $3,789, and a Study Buddies grant in the amount of $740. So. Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you very much. Okay. Any other questions on facilities and finance action items? Okay. Seeing none, can we please have the roll call?
Mrs. Cresti?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay. I'm seeking a motion on 14 PN 125.
Motion.
Just on that one action item.
Yes.
Motion by Dan McTiernan and a second.
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 By Maria Grant. A motion and a second on 14 PN 125. Do we have any discussion or comments on this action item?
I would just like to say I had the opportunity to also sit on the interview committee, and I'm very pleased for Clinton Township that we were able to get such an experienced, caring educator, and we're very fortunate. So welcome to Clinton Township.
I'd like to welcome you to Clinton Township. It's nice to have you here, and wish you the best of luck. I look forward to working with you.
Would you like a candy cane?
He didn't offer the fudge. You see that?
No, that's my fudge.
Any other comments on PN 125? Okay, we have a motion and a second seeking a roll call vote.
I know.
On this
Mrs.
action
Cresti?
Item only.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo?
Abstain.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries. Welcome.
Congratulations, Mrs. Steinheimer. Welcome to the Township. Okay, we have a...
Oh, they told me already. Nothing personal, Alex.
Mr. McTiernan? Would you like to report at all on this action item?
Personnel.
On personnel generally?
When we come back.
Okay. So we have other personnel and negotiations action items, but we do have an executive session within the committee report. So We're going to do a reading of the executive session language, then we're going to vote to go into executive session. We're expected to be in executive session for 20 minutes, at which time we'll come back out. Action may be taken upon return, and then we'll continue with the PNN action items in the balance of the meeting. Okay, so Mrs. Spitzer, would you please read the executive session language?
Whereas while Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any pending or intended litigation or contract negotiation in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer, the nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality, is an anticipated employee agreement. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 20 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the Board of Education hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you very much. Okay, so I'm seeking, let's see. Seeking a motion to go into executive session.
Motion.
By Dan McTiernan and a second.
Second.
By Megan Rodaramo, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We're going to executive session at 8:35